This is the word of the Lord found in Matthew chapter 15, reading the first 20 verses. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. I expect all of you know what defiles or defileth means. It means to make unclean or to make shameful or to make dirty. If I do something that's just awful, if I treat you without integrity or honesty, if I try to take advantage of you, I have defiled myself in my behavior. If I open the septic tank in the back of my yard and jump into it, I have defiled myself. That is, defile means to make unclean, shameful, dirty. And so the people here, Pharisees, have come up from Jerusalem to where the Lord Jesus Christ is, apparently near the Sea of Galilee. And they want to criticize him and his ministry. And the way they do it is by keying in on his disciples. And brothers and sisters, the enemy of God still works that way. He keys in on those who are followers of Jesus Christ, attempts to discredit the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the behavior of his disciples, and that's not a hard thing to do. Many of his disciples stumble, fall, still commit sins. A true Christian is in a growing process, and it's a life of confession and repentance, stopping sinning, trying to do that which is pleasing in God's sight, drawing closer to the Lord. But that's what the Pharisees are doing here with his disciples. They're trying to criticize the Lord by criticizing his disciples. And in this case, what they key in on is the disciples have eaten without first washing their hands. Now, let me just go ahead and say this. I would encourage you, as a matter of hygiene, to wash your hands before you eat. As a matter of fact, before you touch your eyes or face, probably a good idea to wash your hands. And I would encourage you to eat the healthiest diet you can afford. Eat a lot of fresh vegetables if you can. That's a good thing. But if you don't, if you pick up a fast food French fry with dirty hands and eat it, it's not a sin. You have not defiled yourself. You have maybe made yourself sick, but you have not defiled yourself morally or sinfully. And I think a lot of people need to realize this because they elevate hygiene and healthful eating almost to a standpoint of religion. And brothers and sisters, that's putting the matter too high. It's advisable to practice good hygiene. It is advisable to eat a good diet. It's wise to treat your body that way. But it's not sinful if you forget to wash your hands or you down a milkshake every now and then. Do all things in moderation. Be as healthy as you can. But don't elevate physical health to the status of religion. And it's tempting for many people to do that. But that's what the Pharisees are doing. They're criticizing the disciples. They're eating with unwashed hands. And the reason they think it's bad is it runs against the tradition of the elders. Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." That was their criticism. They are breaking traditions that we hold in great honor. Well, the Lord doesn't put up with this criticism. He comes back with a far more serious transgression that they're committing. "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" That is, you've got some traditions that run totally contrary to the very commandments of God. Things that God gave to Moses to be kept and obeyed by the nation of Israel, some of your traditions run against them. And he gives a case in point. He said, "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." That is, for a child, he should try in every way he can. Now, I know some parents are not worthy of much honor, but every child ought to try to find everything they can to honor their father and mother about and do it, including taking care of them if they're old and sick. But this one was being gotten around by the tradition. He said, "But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." That is, you've got this tradition that says, if I take some money and I give it to the temple service, it's like if I make a donation to the church, then I can just say, I don't have to take care of my mom and dad. I'm giving at the temple. And he says, because of that tradition, that you have actually abrogated, obviated, made of none effect the commandment of God to honor your father and mother. He says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You take the traditions and commandments of men over the commandments and doctrines given by God. And you do it to advantage yourself. You, in effect, come up with a man-made religion rather than reverencing the truth that God gives in His Word. "And He called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." Saying, that's what you take into you, doesn't defile you. It's what comes out of you that makes you unclean, shameful, or dirty. Not that which goes in, it's that which comes out. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Now, brothers and sisters, this message that I'm trying to proclaim, some may find it offensive, and I hope not. I deliberately try not to give it offense. There's one offense I want to give when I try to preach, and that's the offense of the cross. That is, all of us are so sinful in God's sight that in order to put away our sins, it required an innocent man who always pleased God to go die a horrible death as a criminal when he was innocent and to suffer the wrath of God for us. Now, look at that. Look at the horror of the cross, the darkness, the wrath of God poured out, and to think that's how bad I am. That's what I deserve. Okay, that's offensive that I'm that bad. But the problem with that offense is it's true. I am that bad. That's what's required to bring me to glory. That's what's required to declare me righteous in God's sight. Is that offensive? Yes. Am I going to proclaim it? God help me, yes. But other offenses I try to avoid. They're unnecessary. But I have to be faithful and try to teach God's word, because that's where the cross is highlighted and focused on, the scripture. So the disciples came and said, "Don't you know the Pharisees were offended at your saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." He basically told his disciples, "Don't worry about it." Says, God knows them that are his, them that are not, and the teachings that they're doing are the blind, and they lead the blind astray. So he's telling them not to worry about the offense he gave. Now, the Lord can do that. I need to be more careful about getting offenses. I have given offenses. When I try to preach, I need to try to preach the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ in love. And I hope I'm able to do that, because this kind of a message can give offense. And I want to preach the truth in love. Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Declare unto us this parable." Peter's basically said, "Lord, I don't understand that bit about what you put in your mouth doesn't defile you. What comes out of your mouth defiles you. Explain that to me." And the Lord does. And Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught?" That is, whatever you put in your mouth, it goes into a digestive system that is pretty effective about purification, filtering. Gastric juice is pretty strong. It goes on through, and it ends up out of your body after a while. Waste products are expelled, and so that's what happens. It doesn't defile you. You say, "Well, wait a minute. What about excessive alcohol or drugs? Isn't that something that you could put into you? Doesn't that kind of defile you?" If somebody were to hold me down and pour a quart of Jack Daniels down my throat when I didn't want it, it would make me pretty sick for a while, but it wouldn't defile me, because I'm not the one choosing to do that. If it's forced, if somebody holds me down and gives me a big dose of crystal meth, that's bad for me. It's going to hurt my health. But I've not defiled myself, because I haven't done that. But brothers and sisters, when I deliberately drink too much alcohol, when I deliberately take crystal meth, I deliberately take heroin, I deliberately take crack cocaine, I deliberately do that, something's coming out of me. I'm speaking to the liquor store saying, "Sell me this. I know what I want to do." I'm speaking to the drug dealer saying, give that to me for a price. I know what I want to do. I want to change my consciousness. I want to forget problems. I want to ease my pain without going to the Lord and seeking a solution. I want to solve my own problems with chemicals. I'll tell you, that defiles you. Because what comes out of your mouth is what defiles you. It's not when it goes in, it's when it goes out. It's what you reach for help. That makes you dirty. That makes you shameful. It's what you choose to do and comes out of your heart and out of your mouth. That's what makes you dirty about it, not what goes in. Then the Lord gets specific about some things that come out of our mouths. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. The Lord gives some specific examples of things that make us dirty, things that make us morally dirty, things that make us shameful, things that make us unclean in the sight of God. These are things that defile a human being. Now, all the human race is defiled except for one person. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Different instances. I rather suspect there's nobody in this room, perhaps not even anybody watching online, that is guilty of murder as the law in the state of Georgia defines it. I may be wrong. There's all kind of things in people's lives. But I suspect there's few, if any, here that have committed murder. But how many of you have committed evil thoughts? Guilty. Defiled. It's come out of my heart. Sad to say, sometimes it's come out of my heart through my mouth. And I've spoken out of those evil thoughts. Defiled. I'm defiled. What do I need? I need the cross, no matter how offensive it is. I need that the Lord Jesus Christ has lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, gone to the cross at His hour, and paid for my sins that defiled me. I need that because I'm guilty. So the Lord's given some examples here. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, taking other people's property, false witness, lying, blasphemies, speaking that which is wrong and bad about God. Guilty? Guilty. But I want to focus on two of these. Two of the things that defile a person. Adulteries and fornications. I think most of you know what adultery is. Adultery is when a married person has sex with someone else that is not their spouse. Or when an unmarried person has sex with a person who's married to someone else. That's adultery. And it defiles you. It makes you morally unclean, shameful, and dirty. What about fornication? Fornications is an English word. It's translated from the Greek, porneia. And you recognize what we get from porneia, means sexual uncleanness. It's where we get our word for pornography. So that's fornications. Well, what is it specifically? How are we going to find out what it is? Does it include adulteries? Is it something separate from and different? What is fornication? And in order to do that, I want to look at a scripture to point us, and these are the words of Jesus Christ, point us where we can find definition for fornication. This is in John chapter 5. I'm reading, these are red letters, reading verses 46 and 47. The Lord Jesus Christ says this, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? You want to be a Christian? Do you want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, to do so, you need to believe his words. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, you're not really believing my words if you don't believe Moses' words. So in order to get a specific definition of fornication, I'm going to go back to Moses. And at this point, a lot of people say, whoa, 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 whoa. Are you about to put the whole Old Testament law on us? No, I'm not. Let me say this clear. I don't want you to miss this. The law that God gave for Moses to give to Israel was for Israel. Is that clear? We don't keep the holidays that are given in Leviticus 23. We don't even keep a Sabbath as they kept it back then. They were not to even kindle a fire in their dwelling. Did you light up your electric stove or use your microwave or drive your car here? You know, when you crank your car, your spark plug creates a little fire and an explosion in the piston. You kindled a fire. Nobody, almost nobody except very strict Jewish personnel keep the Sabbath as it was written in the Old Testament. We don't keep the dietary laws, which would forbid us from eating shellfish or eating pork, or laws that would prevent us from wearing a mingled garment. Many of you may have garments that are mingled cotton and polyester. Well, they were not to wear a garment mingled with linen and woolen together. They were to wear garments that were pure. They were to keep the dietary laws. Brothers and sisters, you're not under that. As a matter of fact, the people of Israel, being descendants of Abraham, all of their males needed to be circumcised on the eighth day. And that's explicitly dealt with in Acts chapter 10, 11, and 15. You can see how the church met there and the Lord guided them, the Holy Spirit. And looking in Old Testament scriptures, they saw that the Gentiles did not have to keep the law and be circumcised after the manner of Moses in order to be saved in the Christian sense, which means saved in this life as a disciple and a student of their eternal Savior, Jesus Christ. They didn't have to do that. So you are not under the law that Moses gave to Israel. That was for Israel. You say, well, wait a minute then. What commandments in the Old Testament am I supposed to keep? Which are the Old Testament commandments are for me today trying to follow Jesus Christ? Let me answer that real simply and clearly. It's any commandment in the Old Testament where God said this applies to all nations, or a commandment which is given again in the New Testament by the Lord and His apostles. Those are the commandments for you. The ones that God says in the Old Testament, this I'm giving to you, but it's for all nations, or ones that are, and usually it's and ones, that are repeated again in the New Testament. Let me give you an example. The Old Testament commandment in Exodus chapter 20, I think it's verse 12, but it's in Exodus 20, the commandment comes from Mount Sinai. God says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land wherein thou goest to dwell. But we just saw the Lord Jesus Christ quote it again here. It's given in the New Testament. And then we're going to read it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, where Paul writes, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that thou mayest live long. There, that commandment's given in the Old Testament. It's given again by Jesus Christ, given again by the Apostle Paul. So it's given in the Old Testament, repeated in the New Testament. It's for us. We are to do the best we can to honor our father and mother. You can find plenty more. You find, thou shalt not kill. Over in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ says, thou shalt do no murder. Over in the Old Testament says, thou shalt not steal. The Lord just mentioned stealing defiles a man. And then you'll read in the Apostle Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 4, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him work with his hands that he may have to give to him that needeth. See, which ones of the Old Testament commandments are for us? The ones that say they're for all nations and the ones repeated in the New Testament. Okay? So what about fornication? How is it defined? Let's go over to Leviticus chapter 18, and you'll see specific definition of fornication. Before I start reading from Leviticus 18, let me mention this. Sometimes you may be driving along, as I have, and you'll see these yard signs with miscolored rainbows on them. And usually one of the first things it will say is this: love is love. For one thing, that's just a tautology. A tautology means a statement whereby you define a word by itself and it adds no information. So it's really a pretty useless statement. Love is love. But there is a cultural understanding behind that statement. And if I understand the cultural unspoken message there, it is that any human sexual practice is good and to be accepted, if not celebrated. That's what's meant by that. Love is love. All human sexuality is good, is what is the message conveyed in silence by that particular sign. Brothers and sisters, is that the teaching of Jesus Christ? What did he just say defiled a human being, defiled a man? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. The Lord Jesus Christ just put adulteries and fornication right between murders and thefts. So is all human sexuality good in the sight of God? Is it all beneficial to the people practicing it? Is it to be accepted or celebrated? No. The Lord Jesus Christ just said, here's some sexual practices that make you dirty, that make you unclean, that make you shameful. That's the Savior that went to the cross for you. He's making it clear. Now, he's endorsed Moses. Let's go back and read what God gave to Moses in Leviticus 18. See what it includes. Let me start with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Let me stop and say this. Uncover nakedness doesn't mean just to see somebody without their clothes on. It means to have sex with them. Saying here plainly, don't have sex with your near of kin. Verse 8, the nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. Don't have sex with your stepmother. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover. Don't have sex with your half-siblings or step-siblings. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. Don't have sex with your grandchildren. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife, she is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law, she is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife, it is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswomen. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. All to say this, incest is included in fornication. I'll just say it that simply, that the nearest of kin that you could ever marry would be a first cousin or more distance. No aunts, no uncles, no children, no grandchildren, no parents. None of that is considered clean in the sight of God. It is embraced in that Greek word porneia, or fornication in English. Then it says in verse 19, also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. You shouldn't have sex during menstruation. Now that's part of what's in the definition here. Verse 20, moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Adultery is included in this list. It defiles a person, no committing adultery. Verse 21, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. Child sacrifice, doing away with little children, and the result of fornication is itself considered part of fornication. It defiles the person. Verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Homosexuality, whether married or unmarried, is fornication. It is defiling to a human being. Verse 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Bestiality, having sex with another species, is part of fornication. It defiles a person. This is not a pleasant message, is it? It's not a pleasant message, but it's the truth, brothers and sisters. Just trying to speak as lovingly as I can the truth. Incest, adultery, sex during menstruation, homosexuality, bestiality, these are all part of the sexual uncleanness that the Lord says defiles a man, defiles a human, defiles a woman. All of this. Now listen to what comes up in verse 24 and onward. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Did you see that? For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall you keep mine ordinance, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourself therein. I am the Lord your God. Do you know what he said there? That these are defiling not only to you, Israel. There's a lot of these commandments are just to Israel. Can't eat pork, can't eat shellfish, can't wear mingled garments, can't plant your garden with mingled seed. Need to keep these holidays, starting with Passover. You need to do that. You need to worship me in this way. That's just to Israel. But here are commandments about sexual uncleanness that God says, Israel, you observe these, and these apply to all nations. Any nation that practices them is going to be defiled by the practice. So now you got a scriptural definition of fornication, and the Lord Jesus Christ, coming back to this, says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. This is the teaching of the loving Savior. Brothers and sisters, what if somebody has engaged in that? And I expect there are many people that you know very well that have engaged in at least one of these practices. Does that mean they're not going to heaven? God forbid, if that's what you've understood out of the preaching of grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is such that his death, burial, and resurrection is sufficient to put away any sin. There are many people who have defiled themselves from these practices, and they are going to live in heaven by the loving grace of a totally successful Savior. When the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging in the dark on the cross, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was paying for many of these very sins. In fact, more than we could ever tell or imagine, he was paying for them. But having paid for them, why would we continue to practice them in ingratitude? You say, well, Brother Marty, you just don't understand. You know, I was born this way. This is the way God made me. No. We may be born that way, but that's not the way God made the first man to have ungodly, unclean sexual desires is the way Adam made us. And so let me say this. We may, as a result of our birth, or as a result of our environment, or as a result of our raising, may have unclean, unscriptural sexual desires. But brothers and sisters, here's what we should do with them. We confess them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't practice them. Has anybody ever considered that you don't need to fulfill all your desires? If somebody fulfills all their desires, they may eat sugar all the time until they destroy their health. If somebody fulfills all their desires, they may get mad and just kill the person that made them mad. Somebody fulfills all their desires, they may see a Maserati in the parking lot and just steal it because they desire it. Brothers and sisters, part of following Jesus Christ is to leave many of your desires unfulfilled and see him fulfill things that you didn't even have the capacity to desire, because he gives you that love and that thirst for God, that hunger and thirst for righteousness, and he fulfills that. Go beyond the desires you were born with. You are not defined and constrained and chained by your desires. You are not defined by your identity as racial, whether Jew or Gentile, or defined by your class identity, which may be bond or free, or defined by your gender identity, male or female. But who is Christ's seed is spiritually a child of Abraham, a child of God, and that's who you are. That's your identity. People talking so much today about, oh, your gender identity, born in the wrong body. Brothers and sisters, all of us were born in sinful bodies. Bodies that deserve God's wrath, but bodies that God so loved his children, he determines to raise from the dead and glorify to live forever. Your identity is not being born in the wrong body. Your identity is being born again as a child of God. And that's so important to understand. Brothers and sisters, I think that we should be kind to everybody, regardless of their inherent desires. Should we be kind to people who are caught up in the LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender situation? Certainly. There ought to be a kindness, compassion, respect for them as human beings, and a pity for what they're struggling with. Should we do that? But should we celebrate that? Encourage it? Promote it? God forbid that LGBT movement and celebration is damaging the lives of many of God's children today. It's hurting them. It's hurting those that love them. It's hurting the nation as a whole. It's very, very damaging. And the acronym changes daily, it seems like. Now, 2S LGBTQ plus, difficult to keep up with. Brothers and sisters, there's one element in that acronym that I urge you to be very compassionate of, and that's I. There's intersex. Those of you that have studied some of biology probably know if somebody's born with the what's called the XY chromosome, they're considered biologically a male. If they're born with the XX chromosome, they're considered biologically a female. But there are people that are born with double Y chromosomes, and there are people that are born with XXY. There are different chromosomal arrangements. It's a result of the fact that the human race, in Adam's choice, death came in, disease came in, and so there are genetic malfunctions that occur, and some very good, very sweet people suffer from this. They are truly biologically intersex. They are hermaphroditic. Sometimes they have both sexual characteristics. How should we deal with those folks? The same way we deal with anyone, with kindness, compassion, respect. And when that kind of person gets to be an adult, they can choose which course they want to go, and we ought to continue to treat them with kindness and compassion and respect. But as far as all of this changing, denying biological reality, encouraging people to doubt the body that they're born in, trying to bring upon them such destructive surgeries and chemical treatments, brothers and sisters, this is damaging. This is harmful. This is doing people great damage. So we ought not to meet it with criticism and harshness. We ought to meet them this way, is that the Lord made man male and female, and He commands them not to defile themselves in their sexual practice, but rather to follow Him faithfully as a disciple. You don't need to fulfill your own desires and all your desires. If you have a desire for that sexual pleasure, and most human beings do, not all of them, most of them do, God has made provision for that. Because I want you to know that desire is powerful. It's like nuclear power. It's compared to fire. But you need to put a fire in the right place. If you want a fire in your house and you build it in a well-constructed fireplace, you've got the fire bricks. You've got the triple wall or construction that draws it well. And you have that nice glowing fire. Isn't that a blessing? Don't you love to sit around on a cool night and the fire's crackling, and there you are and you're reading your book, or you're just sitting there talking and hear, what a blessing. Well, that's great. What if somebody said, I'd sure like a fire. I think I'll build it right out here on the coffee table. I'll put my fire starter log there, and I'll put some wood and throw some paper right there on the coffee table and click it here with my match or my cigarette lighter or whatever. We'll have us a good fire going in a minute. Would you say, well, I guess I'll celebrate. I'll accept that and celebrate it. Brothers and sisters, your house would be burned down in a matter of hours. And that's exactly what's going on with sexual desire and gratification of sexual pleasure. If you put it where it was made to go, one man married to one woman for a lifetime vow, what a blessing it is. It's a great blessing. But if you take this standpoint, love is love. Every kind of human sexuality is good to be not only accepted but celebrated. You're going to destroy a lot of good things. And you see it even now. You see it even now. What's the answer? We need to treat everybody, everyone, regardless of the sin that they're in. Adultery, fornication, evil thoughts, blasphemies, thefts, false witness. We need to treat every human being with kindness, compassion, and respect. But it does not mean that you endorse and promote every activity and action that they do. I hope that if I say something that's hurtful, somebody in love will come to me and respectfully say, "Brother Marty, that hurt, and I don't think it was scriptural." I hope they'll do that. Not everything I say or do is right. But I do have this great hope that God loves me and loves me forever. And I do think that we ought to accord one another respect and the respect of speaking the truth in love. There are things that defile us. There are things that come out of our heart, through our mouth, even through our deeds. They defile us. Aren't you glad there's one that takes the defiled and washes them clean in His own spotless blood? He does. He succeeded at it. He makes the defiled a delight to live in the presence of God forever. Thank God that all His children, regardless of what sins they have committed or are wrestling with now, all God's children will, by the blood of the Savior, one day live in the presence of their Lord and King, Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is Your name. Lord God, we pray that we would not defile ourselves, Lord, but we realize that we are, even from the moment of conception, all our works, Lord, so many of them are defiling, and we admit that we're sinners in Your sight, not worthy of the least of Your mercies. Dear Father, look down upon us in grace and mercy and compassion, and help us to realize the truth that, dear God, You've paid for all the sins of all Your children forever and ever, and it, in gratitude that we should confess and forsake those sins to repent, Lord, and follow You faithfully. Help us, Lord, to love one another, even as ourselves. Help us to treat everyone, regardless of what they're contending with or going through, with compassion, kindness, and respect, even as our neighbor. But help us, Lord, to stand for the truth of Your word, for it is a good word, O God. It's a thorough furnisher to every good work. Lord, thank You for giving us food, clothing, shelter, purpose, love, loved ones. Thank You for giving us all the good things we have, and we beg that You'll accept our thanks and our praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.